Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right, this weekly portion is called Re'eh, or See. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 12, 11 through 14. And Isaiah is 55, 1 through 5. And Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11. And those are the portions that I will be using today. So, the introduction. As God begins this Torah portion by telling us to see, then he shows us what we need to look at. We are to look at where the blessings and curses will be given, find where God will place his name, talks about false prophets, sabbatical year, and even the instructions for the three pilgrimage festivals. Are you ready to see? Deuteronomy chapter 12, 1 through 14. Then to the place that the Lord your God will choose, to make his name dwell there, there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, your tithes, and your contribution that you present, and all your finest vow offerings that you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you and your sons and your daughters, your male servant and your female servants, and the Levite that is within your towns, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. Take care that you do not offer your burnt offerings at any place that you see, but at the place that the Lord will choose in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I am commanding you. Now this portion, Re'eh or See, really, it's a tough thing to think about because the word see. Okay, we think see with your eyes, see things like that, but that's not necessarily what it's talking about. And I know that this past week, but boy, the Lord has sure made me see things, all right, that I didn't necessarily want to see. Okay, I like simple, I like no drama, things like that, right? Well, that didn't happen. Okay, the Lord said, no, Paul, see this, all right? Well, it made it a tougher week for me. And it wasn't just at my job, it wasn't just with people in general, it was also he showed me things with me. And so that's really a neat thing when he does that, even though I don't like it. I mean, I sit there and go, oh, I'm perfect, God, I don't need to be showing these things. And he laughs at me, right? Okay, because he knows I do, all right, because none of us are perfect, right? So, you know, it's always fun when he teaches you things like that. But the Hebrew root word, as I've said, is re'eh, and it means to see. Now, the definition and lexicon, and I'm going to read all of these to you, and I'll explain why here in just a minute. It says to see, perceive, have vision, regard, look after, see after, learn about, observe, watch, look upon, look out, find out, observe, consider, look at, give attention to, discern, distinguish, gaze at, to appear, present oneself, to be seen, to be visible, to cause to see, show, to cause to look intently at, behold, cause to gaze at, to be caused to see, be shown, to be exhibited to look at each other, and face. Boy, that's a lot of words, right? Man, so which one do we use? Okay. Well, you know, we tend to like to pick one and say that's what it means. Okay. But the reason why I shared all of these definitions with you is because to look in the re'eh sense or the way God wants us to is all of them. Not just one. Not just picking one out and saying that's it. But it's all of them. You have to bring in all of those understandings into the definition of re'eh or to see. Okay, so for example, if I'm going to use the word see, re'eh, I also have to understand it means to distinguish, to discern, because I'm seeing. Okay, it also means I have to behold, cause to look at, gaze at, okay, to look intently at. And if you think about to look intently at, what does that really mean? Okay, are we just looking at it, staring at it, go, I'm looking intently. That's a water bottle right there. Right? No, that's not what it's talking about. Okay, look intently at is with a purpose. To look at something with a purpose and to work through the things that you see. Let me give you an understanding of this that happened to me a couple weeks ago. I'm driving, and I drive around this whole valley, sometimes 250 miles a day, driving to different places, going all around. So I'm really busy when I look. And so I drive by fields, whether it's corn fields, whether it's chili fields, cotton fields, watermelon fields. I get to see all of these different fields, okay? And so I've noticed about 2 weeks ago that on the edges of the field, the plants are not quite as tall, okay? They're not quite as green in color as you see in the center of the field, okay? And so you see these different variations within this field. And so I'm like, well, wait a minute, I've seen that before, but why? Why is it like that? And so I've come to find out many different things, and one that I'm really going to talk about is a cornfield. Now, the corn stalks in some of our fields are 14 feet tall. I mean, it is huge tall. But these are for cows and stuff that we're growing it for. Okay, so that's why they're so tall. But you look at it, at the ones on the side, they're only like 6 feet. So there's a lot of difference. And what comes from that is the soil that they're in was compacted by tractors or trucks or things like that, where they actually have to drive on the side in order to harvest the plants from the inside. So because of that dirt is compacted, it causes the plant doesn't grow as well. It doesn't have as dark color. And so I'm like, okay, I understand why that happens, but do I see what's happening? Okay? And then I started thinking, what does Scripture say? Do not harvest the corners of your fields. And who's that for? It's for the orphans, for the poor people, so they can glean from your fields. Well, why is that? Because if a tractor goes through the main part of that field, it's collecting a lot of the corn and a lot of the things, and so they'll get a good profit off of that. But on the edges of the field, they don't get the same profit, so it actually costs more for the farmer to harvest the outside than it does the inside. And so he actually sometimes loses money, okay, to harvest the outside, depending on the field and the crop. And so if you leave it there, it benefits everyone. Okay, the farmer doesn't lose money on the crop, the poor people can glean off of that, and you get fed, and it works out for everybody. Okay, and so as I'm looking at this, and I'm studying this based on Scripture, I go, now I'm starting to see. Because I used the Scripture, and it brought some understanding into the Scriptures. So now I get to see. So I looked at, I studied, I distinguished, I found out why. I mean, I looked into that because it was very intriguing to me. And so that is an example of to see. How often do we do that in our lives? Okay? I would tell you almost never. Okay? Almost never. And we're bombarded constantly with things from out here, right? I mean, we got TV, right? We've had that for how many decades? Okay? We've had too many. Right. We have, you know, our little smartphones, we have our tablets, we have our computers, we have all these things that are just right in our face, right? You have the commercials, you have the advertisements, the pop-ups, you have to have pop-up blockers, you have to have all these things because the input into your eyes, that what you see is just incredible. There's too much. And so we've learned to filter it out, so we don't actually really see anything. Okay, we're driving down the road. How many signs do you see as we drive down the road? I bet we don't even realize how many signs are out there. And the reason I know this is one of the things my kids and we do on our way to synagogue on this day is instead of playing some other games, we look for things in Scripture like the words grace or Torah or faith, things like that in signs. And so they have to find these words as they're looking. And man, they're like, there's a sign, that's not there. And their signs are everywhere. And they have so many choices to look from that it helps them. And sometimes we go through 10 words before we get here. Okay? And we don't live very far away. But there's signs everywhere. And how many do we really see? Okay? We don't. We block it out. Okay? We go on Facebook. You know, I don't have a Facebook account, but a lot of people do. Okay? And so they'll go online and they'll look at Facebook, but what do they really see? They're just glancing at it. They're not really looking at anything, really. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're just, oh, look, I got another friend, yay. Right? I mean, You know, what are they looking at when they go on Facebook? Ooh, so-and-so, oh, this is good stuff. But are you really looking at it? Do you really know what happened? No, you don't. Because we're not intently looking at it. So we're filling ourselves with things that we shouldn't, but we're blocking out even more than what we realize. Are we that way with the Lord and His Word? Okay? A lot of times, you know, we'll go through and we'll get all these words from all these different things, and man, it's just great. Right? Do we test that word? Do we see if that's consistent with Scripture? I mean, one of our brothers from Arizona called me this week, and he says, you know, Paul, he says, you wrote down a pretty good word for what was written. He says, I didn't have to correct your doctrine this week. You all know who that is. You know, so we go back and forth, and we have a good time, but we have to have people checking. We have to have people studying to see if we're saying the right things, if it matches up with Scripture. If we don't, then we're in trouble. And Rabbi, and I always tell you guys, study what we say. Don't just take it blindly. Okay? Look into it and see if what we're saying is accurate. If it's not, come to us with Scripture and show us, because I know he and I both want to know. Okay? If we're wrong, we need to know. But if you come with us with doctrine from some place, we're just going to kind of laugh. Because our foundation is Torah. And that's what it is. It's just plain fit Torah. Bring Torah to us, show us we're wrong, and we're good. No problem, because that is our word. Okay? So if we go to Isaiah 44, it says, they know not, nor do they discern, for he, God, has shut their eyes, so they cannot see, and their hearts, so they cannot understand. Now this is God talking about Israel, and it's talking about Messiah. And the Lord has shut the eyes to Israel on Messiah. Okay? And we see this, and it is relatively simple. And so what does he mean by shutting their eyes? They haven't been able to discern it. They haven't been able to distinguish it. They don't even right now want to look at it. Okay? They try to stay away from it. They avoid all that about Messiah because, oh, that's a bad subject. Okay, so they don't want to look at it. They don't want to be shown. And so their eyes have been blinded to this truth. Now there's other beliefs out there, Christian, Catholic, Messianic Judaism. I mean, there's so many different things, but they've been blinded to the Torah. God has shown them Messiah, but their eyes have been blinded to Torah, the foundation. Okay, and so these are the different things that we have to walk through. Even us sitting here today, our eyes are blinded in certain areas, certain things. We still don't have all the answers, nor will we until Messiah returns. And maybe not even then. Okay, he'll give us what we need, but Messiah knows everything, right? And so we might not ever know everything, okay? But we still have been blinded to some things, and so we have to work through that. Okay, as we walk, we learn a different way of doing things. Not necessarily right or wrong, but our understanding of why we do something grows. If we're studying Torah to do Torah, we'll grow in our understanding of why, how to do it, and how to bring life to other people. But if we're studying not to do Torah, just to be able to talk and to enjoy the conversations, we're not going to get that knowledge. And we're still going to be blinded in many areas. And so we have to study to do Torah. We go to 2 Corinthians 3:16, it says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Okay, when you come to the Messiah and you truly love him and you want to follow him and do what he tells you, that veil gets removed and your blindness gets removed in many areas and all of a sudden you start growing. I mean, if you've seen a person that has come to faith in Messiah and the Torah, you'll see their learning curve in the first year just explode. They'll learn so much and they'll take in so much and they'll be so happy and so full of joy. It's like, wow, this is great. And then you start seeing it slow down. Okay? But when their eyes are open and that veil's removed, they can bring in a lot of understanding at one time. And so it's a beautiful thing. Okay? But if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 13, it says, take care that you do not offer your burnt offerings at any place you see. Now, this is the only verse in this portion where the word re'eh is used again. Okay, is this particular verse. So only twice in this portion is the word re'eh used. And here's the second one. So it says, take care that you do not offer burnt offerings at any place that you see. Okay? Well, this has been determined to be, oh, that's the temple. Okay, that's Mount Moriah in Israel. That's the temple. That's where God chose. And they limit, all teachers limit it to that location. Okay? Other teachers have come in and say, well, the temple's not there anymore, so it's going to be our congregations. Our congregations, God has placed his name on. And so we're there now. God's name is there. That's where he's chosen. Okay? Well, is that true? Is every congregation have the presence of God on it? I'm going to tell you, no. They don't. Okay? I'm sorry to say that. Not every congregation has that ability. God has not chosen that. How about people? This is the one I like. You go to most Christian denominations and everybody's a brother and sister. Everybody's filled with the Spirit. Everybody's the tabernacle of God. Everybody has God resting on, so it's all good. And I say, really? That doesn't line up with Scripture. So why do we believe that? Okay? Well, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So it's used to say that, oh, God's Spirit dwells in you. You're the temple or the tabernacle. There you go, right? And so we'll take our doctrine and we'll run with that. But we have to understand that not everybody is filled with the Spirit that claims to be. And we've been through many discussions about that. But God places his name on some assemblies and others not. He places his name on some groups and other groups he does not. He does the same with people. Some people he does, others he doesn't. And he makes a choice. We don't. Okay, this is God's decision. Matthew 7:16 says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Now, I'm sure he's really talking about dogs and pigs, right? No. He's talking about people. Okay? But, of course, it's people who don't believe, right? It's people outside the faith that are dogs and swine, right? Right? No. Absolutely not. It's talking about people in the faith. The believers, if you want to call it that. People in the faith is who is being talked about here. And how do we know that? Okay, well, we'll start with Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. It says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. And in the context of this, Paul's talking about believers. Evil workers for Messiah, if you want to call it that. And that's amazing that he calls evil workers dogs. Okay? And so, Paul is saying that people that are supposedly in the faith and then turn around and backstab you and steal from you and do all these things are dogs. They're considered dogs in Scripture. They're not, but they're of the faith. They come to you and say, oh, I believe. I go to this group. I go to that group. I'm one of you. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. And yet they come and they take your money. They take your time. They take your spirit. They take your happiness. They condemn you. They talk bad about you. All whatever it might be, they're evil workers. And they're considered dogs, according to Scripture. Okay? Now, swine. What is swine? Well, we know that swine is an unclean animal, right? A pig chews its cud, but doesn't have split hooves. Okay? And so that's why it's not a clean animal. Okay? But chewing the cud, is it the other way around? It has split hooves?
Yeah.
It does not? I thought it was the other way around. But anyway, I knew it was one way or the other. Thanks, Robert. Edit that, Rabbi. But it's an unclean animal. Its talk is one way, its walk is another. Okay? And so that's what makes it unclean. It's the same way with people. If they come up to you and talk the talk, oh, I'm a believer, oh, I love Yeshua, oh, this and this and that, and they're not doing the right things, guess what? They're considered swine, according to Scripture. They're not kosher. They're not a biblically clean animal. Okay? Because their walk doesn't match their talk. They're swine. And so, we're not supposed to throw our seeds, our gifts, our pearls before swine. And we're not supposed to give what is holy unto the dogs. Holy just means separated for, set apart for. It doesn't mean better than, it doesn't mean above. It just means set apart for a particular purpose. Okay? So what is holy? If something unto God is holy, it's holy. You don't give it to dogs or to swine. You give it to those who are not. And we have to discern that. We have to see that. Because we can't just be throwing it all around. Okay? And that's what we have to learn. Okay? Now, we'll go to let's go to Amos real quick. Please read the bulletin. Isaiah 55, 1-5 says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." Okay. Well, this is really an interesting thing, because is this thirst talking about water or your favorite beverage? It's not. Okay? It's not at all talking about that. And Amos 8:11 tells us why. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." Okay? He's already declared what's going to be out there. He's already declared the hunger and the thirst that's coming. Okay? And it's for the word of God. Okay? And that's the Torah. It's plain and simple. That's the Torah of God. Now, the interesting thing here is that in the verses I just read to you, the word buy, the Hebrew word is shaber. Okay? And it really means to deal in grain. It doesn't not buy or sell. It means to deal in grain. Okay? And so, but they use the word buy. Well, grain ought to remind us real quickly of the spring feast. Feast of First Fruits and the Feast of Shavuot or Pentecost. Because those are both festivals of wheat and barley. It's grain that is being dealt with there. And so, this should remind us right away that we're talking about Messiah. We're talking about the first fruits because he is the firstborn. Okay, he was the first raised. He is the first fruits. Okay? And what happened on Shavuot? Well, the giving of God's word. Okay, the very first one. And then the Spirit came down in Acts 2 to represent what was taking place way back in when the children left Israel. And so you have these things taking place, and that's the hunger that we're going to get is for the word of God, and we're supposed to buy and sell within that word, the grains. All right. Now, in this one, we also see that it says, "Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Well, if we understand what wine is, it's talking about the inner peace and happiness of studying the Torah. So when you study the Torah, and again, study to do, not study to talk, you get this inner peace within you. You get fullness. You get healthy. You get wholeness. And so you have this peace in you. And that's what the wine represents in this type of thing. Okay? Then the milk happens to be the power of the Torah to sustain your growth in your spiritual life. Because that's a newborn baby, right? That's what they get, is milk. All right? It's the power. So when you study the Word of God, you're drinking Okay, you're drinking from it wholly, and you can have power when you do it. And the Holy Spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh is the one who helps you do this. Because we've known this, it says, you know, I will place my spirit in you, and I will cause you to walk out my statutes and my Torah. That's scriptural. Okay. And finally, in this part of Isaiah, it says Shema. Well, we say the Shema every Shabbat, but do we know what Shema really means? Well, it has three parts to it: to listen, to hear, and to do. Okay? And if you do all three, then you've Shema'd. If you only do two, then you have it. If you do one, you really have it. It's to listen, to hear, and to do. And listening and hearing are two different things. Okay? Because we hear things all day, right? We hear things on the radio or the TV or phone conversations or whatever. We hear things all day. But are we listening? Okay? Or maybe it's vice versa. I don't know how you guys operate. Okay? But what are we doing with our hearing? It's the same thing we do with seeing. We block out a lot of things, and we don't listen to a lot of things, and we just kind of do our own thing. Okay? And so we have to make sure we do all three things when we Shema. Okay? And we're moving forward to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may more and more overflow in fullness of knowledge and depth of discernment, so that you will be able to determine what is best, and thus be pure and without blame for the day of Messiah, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Yeshua, the Messiah, to the glory and praise of God." Why this verse? Because it talks about discernment. And isn't that one of the definitions of re'eh? It is. Discernment, okay? To give attention to distinguish, okay? That's what it is. It's discernment. Now, we all have different levels of discernment, okay? And it comes in from different things. I mean, before I ever got into this walk, I was always told that the Sabbath was Sunday, okay? And so I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And then when I found out it wasn't, it was like, okay, well, we're moving it. It's now Saturday. That was the right day. Okay? So I'm like, all right. And then I went, okay, well, I can just sit and do nothing and all this kind of stuff. But then I learned there were rules and requirements for the Shabbat. Okay? And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to start following them. So then, okay, what did I do? I jumped on board the rabbinical train. And I found out there were 1,200 rules for Shabbat. Are you kidding me? How can you follow 1,200 rules on Shabbat and enjoy it? When God says enjoy the Sabbath is one of the requirements of the Sabbath. So I went from one extreme to the other extreme, and I walked back to the middle and said, okay, this is how it's done. And this is what gives me life. This is what gives my family life. And so this is what I'm going to do when I'm following Shabbat. It was a progression, and I learned, and my discernment gained, and I grew. Even though I went the other way sometimes, I was brought back to the truth. Okay, and through my walk and through doing, I learned. And it was an incredible trip, I'm telling you. And I've seen other people do the same thing, and I just sit there and smile at them, because I've been there, done that. And it's like, okay, you'll get there. And I'm like, Paul, you don't know. Yeah. I do. Okay. And so it's really neat to see, but our discernment grows as we do. And one thing this year might mean one way. Next year you're going to learn that is add to it. Okay? Add to your understanding. Doesn't take away from what you already know, but you add to it. And you gain a greater discernment for the Word of God. But you have to do it to gain the discernment. And that's the hard thing. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now this one's kind of hard, okay? Because it says, that by testing you, you may discern what is the will of God. How many of us like tests? Come on. Yeah, Julian likes tests. Roy likes tests. I would have to kind of laugh because I don't. Because my tests are usually never very fun. Okay. It usually causes problems or pain or emotional issues. You know how it goes, right? But maybe you guys don't get those kind of tests. All right. But I do. And so testing is kind of hard. But we have to go through those tests. Okay. Because God is, one, going to show us our heart. And God is going to say, hey, are you really going to follow Torah or are you not going to follow Torah? Here's a test for you. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And then when we don't, we sometimes kick ourselves, right? Oh man, you're terrible. Oh, this is awful. Oh, I'm no good. Oh, I can't do this anymore. We try to give up. Okay? Or we say, oh, that's okay. God, I'm sorry. I will try harder next time. Or help me. Give me your spirit more so I don't do it again. Or whatever we do, right? We ask for help. Okay? But we still kind of beat ourselves up. And that's not what we should do. Okay? Because Yeshua has taken that from us. He's taken that shame. He's taken that humiliation. Okay? And he's forgiven us. And if he's forgiven us, who are we to not forgive ourselves? Okay? Because we're not greater than the Master. Alright? So if he's forgiven us, we have to forgive ourselves. And this is the discernment that we have that comes up, okay, in our walks. We have to be able to discern this. And it's hard to do. Okay? But going back to the Romans verse here about do not be conformed to the world, what world is he talking about? He's talking about America, right? It can't be a form of America. Or I know, don't be conformed to European stuff, right? Because they're crazy over there. I don't know, right? No, that's not what he's talking about. All right, Paul is talking about a way of thinking. And that way of thinking is a Greek mindset. Okay? It's not a necessarily world. It's a Greek mindset. And what do I mean by Greek mindset? Look at the sports we watch. Okay? The sports that are out there that we watch, like football and hockey and all these sports like that, guess what? They're just like the Colosseum. Okay? It's Greek-Roman thinking. It has nothing to do with a Hebrew way of thinking. Okay? What about our classrooms? Okay, like we're set up here, you have one person up here, and everybody's else out there, and that's the way our colleges are set up, right? In most cases. All right? That's a Greek mindset, because that's not the way the Hebrews would teach. Okay, they usually teach in a circle, and it's more of a conversation. It's more of this person talking and this person talking. And, of course, sharing the time, not one person taking all the time. And you learn by questions, and you learn by answers, and you keep going back and forth on topics until you're done. But it's a circle type of thing for Hebrew thinking, not a Greek thought. And we can even go into theater. The word theater, okay, I looked up, and it means the seeing place. The seeing place, S-E-E-I-N-G. And that's the place where you're supposed to go see. And it has the understanding of a place where people come to see the truth about life and the social situations. That's what theater's for. The truth on life, right? I laugh at that because look at the movies. That's truth, right? That's truth on life. All of that is, right? Has to be, right? Now, there are some plays that are actually pretty accurate of what's going on socially. It's might not be God's truth, but it's truth of what is happening in the world. Okay, but it's still not truth. It's not God's truth. Okay, so this is the Greek way of thinking. And believe it or not, that Greek way of thinking was brought in through the Septuagint. Okay, because of who was made and to write that and how it came to pass. That's where they made changes, like instead of Torah, it says nomos, for law, instead of God's teaching and understanding. So these are the things that took place at that time, which is a Greek mindset, which still hurts believers today. Okay? And so because of that, this Greek mindset snuck into that. It's hard for us to go back to our roots of faith, to our Hebrew roots, to get that Greek mindset out of us. Because it's been put into the Word. And we have a hard time distinguishing that unless we study Hebrew. getting into Greek lexicons. I mean, start with the Strong's if you need to, so you can find out what the words are. But then go to a Greek lexicon and find out what, or not Greek, but a Hebrew lexicon and find out what it's really talking about. Because that's when your understanding starts to grow. Because the translations in there, there are many mistakes. And Rabbi and I have talked about different translations things, but we're not going to get into that today. But, you know, there's some translations out there that have 45,000 errors in it. And it's considered one of the good ones. Okay? That's at least what people think. And so we have to understand that there are errors and that there's things going on. We have to go back to the original. We have to study to show ourselves approved. And we have to learn what the Word of God is saying. And that will take us out of our Greek mindset. Okay? And so once we start doing that, we'll start having life within us. We'll start being able to share that life with others. We won't get so judgmental with people if they don't believe the way we do. We won't get so upset and uptight with other people if they live differently than we do, if they honor the Shabbat differently than we do, things like that. Because I see a lot of times, oh, you don't honor Shabbat like me, you must not be saved. I mean, I don't know if you guys have experienced that with other people, you know, but it happens, okay? And so we have to be less judgmental. And when we see this life through the Hebrew, you'll get that way. Of course, you'll go through your slings. Because when you first start it, you learn the truth, then you start saying, oh, but you don't, and I know. And we go through different levels. Okay, again, that's discernment. Okay, so we need to understand. So help those, going back to this, help those who have a desire for God. Okay. Not for their righteousness or their thing, but a desire for God. Are they loving God? Do they want to know God more? Are they striving to be closer to God? These are the people we're to help. Okay? We don't want to help the evil workers or the people that cause concern. Okay? In the sense of, oh, come on in, it's okay. No, we have to expose the wolves. But those who truly love God, help. With all meekness, all humility, teach, instruct, encourage, using the Word of God. Okay, share with them what you've had, the growths that you've made, the tests that you've gone through. Share with that knowledge so that they know how to bring some experience into what they're going through. Okay, don't give your pearls away to swine. Don't give what's holy unto the dogs. Okay, because that'll make your life real hard. And believe it or not, those people will end up hating you if you do. Okay. Learn to discern the Word of God. Okay, study, like I said, to show yourself approved. Discern what is righteousness. Discern what is holy. And discern who to give it to you. Your life gets easier. Okay, see what the Lord is trying to show us in His Word. So like in this one, God says, see. And then He gives us things He wants us to look at. Study those things. Study the place of the blessings and the curses. Study why it was there. Get maps out. Learn why. Study about false prophets. Okay? Because there are groups out there led by false prophets. Okay? That have even declared themselves as prophets and said, judge me by the prophets. And they were wrong. And yet people still listen to them. Should we do this according to what we learned in this week's reading? That's the question. Study and see what God wants you to see. Okay? And so these things will help you learn. And when you start studying and you start seeing and you start discerning, then you do not give your land away that you've already gained. You know, when some of us came out of Christmas, we had to give up something, right? To start to say, oh, we understand now what Christmas is about. Don't give up that land to make peace with a family member. Oh, it's okay. I'm going to go back and it's okay for me to celebrate Christmas because I want to reach that person. You're giving up your land. Don't give up your land. Take hold of what you've gotten. Understand that that's because of God and hold on to that promise. Okay? Stand firm on the Word of God, as I said at the beginning. Torah is your foundation. If it doesn't match with Torah, then there's a problem. And it's typically us that causes the problem. Okay? But when you stand firm on the Word of God, your house will stand. It's not built on sand, but it's built on a firm foundation. So let that foundation be the Torah. And I will end with Torah Man Jr. Okay? And Torah Man Jr. says, and I'm going to give two of them actually, because he's a junior. First one is, faith is far more a way of walking than it is of talking. And the second one is, there is a condition worse than blindness, and that is seeing something that is not there. So, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Hashem.